right now, it is time to welcome into the studio, live, actual people who have veterinary degrees, Dr. Sam Jones and Dr. Charlie Fairman. Hello.
Hello. You can hear me breathing.
Sort of creepy.
Showing you that I'm live.
Sam's being it's a little bit creepy, but he does know his stuff when it comes to animal stuff.
Oh, thanks,
Sam. He's an actual vet. And if you have questions for Dr. Sam and Dr. Charlie, 1-300-222-612, or you can send us a text, 0467-922-612. Is there anything that has been jumping out to you guys recently that you wanted to start with?
Charlie did his first triathlon recently.
Oh, yeah.
Got nothing to do with people.
No,
very irrelevant.
But, exercise, it's important.
Okay,
you know,
great.
For all creatures, great and small.
But is there anything that you've been coming across a lot?
What have we had? I have to think about that a little bit.
Just pure coincidence. I mean, there's no seasonality to these types of surgeries, but we had a few foreign body surgeries come in recently.
What did they eat?
Dogs and cats eating things they shouldn't, basically.
What had they eaten at this stage?
The cat had eaten a crab toy from Kmart, so a soft rubber toy from Kmart, so nibbled its claws off and it got stuck, unfortunately. Yeah.
Crab claw.
Yeah. What about the dog?
Hard to wander. The dog actually wanders.
Can I wonder if you're listening?
the dog ate some corn cobs. There was a nice corn
the
cob.
The whole thing.
I think multiple.
Yeah, right.
Chewed it up, yeah.
They're high risk, by the way. Yeah.
Why?
Because they're cylindrical and most dogs, except for, say, a chihuahua, but most sort of dogs bigger than sort of 15 kilos will be able to swallow one of those things whole, especially if they're cut into sections, and they just are perfect for blocking the small intestine.
Yeah, right.
So corn cobs.
They taste really good as well.
They are delicious. Keep your dog away from corn cobs. We've learned something already, guys.
Yeah.
1-300-222-612, you have a question for Dr. Sam and Dr. Charlie. Let's kick it off with Kay in Brisbane. Hello.
Hello.
What's your question?
Well, I have a couple of questions, if Sam or Charlie don't mind answering.
Absolutely.
The first one is, I'm ringing on behalf of my daughter. She has a 12-month-old Shih Tzu Maltese cross, and she's becoming a little bit aggressive lately with... say she's on my daughter's bed and my daughter goes to pick her up to put her on her own bed, she will growl and snap, not actually bite, but leave me alone sort of thing. And what do you do in a case like that? And the other is she's the fussiest eater of a dog I've ever come across in my life.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How did dogs have they've just become fussy eaters, haven't they? Because they used to just eat anything.
Yeah, there is actually a thing called fussy eater syndrome, believe it or not. And that typically arises when you have a dog that can be a bit selective, or let's say doesn't have a particularly high food drive, meaning, like the opposite of a Labrador, right? Labradors will eat anything. And there's some dogs out there that just sort of like, oh, look, I'll graze throughout the day, but I'm not going to just gobble it all up at once. Now, if they don't have a high food drive and then the owner panics, let's say there's a new puppy. Oh, no, he hasn't eaten all his breakfast. Right, I'm going to try him with some ham. He's eaten a bit of that, but he won't eat anything else. Now I'm going to give him some chicken. And they just keep changing diet and gradually increasing the palatability, I guess, put some gravy on it, and eventually you get a situation where the dog just becomes very, very selective about what it will and won't eat. And from our standpoint as vets, it makes it very difficult when we see a patient that is sick or unwell and we say to the client, is he stopped eating or is he still eating? And they say, well, he doesn't really eat, he's very selective anyway. So we can't use that as a means of identifying whether or not he's feeling systemically unwell. So the way to avoid that is to, by all means, vary the diet, but don't vary it too often. And, these days the recommendation in terms of nutrition is that they should have a premium dry dog food should represent about 90% of their total intake. And if you can feed them that every day, you will be meeting all of their, requirements for minerals and vitamins and things like that. So don't just swap and change too often.
I've just had a light bulb moment, as Oprah used to say, as to why my chickens aren't eating the stuff that I'd been giving them. Because we've just given them too many them too many choices. They're like, don't like that.
Yeah, I like to call it expensive taste. They've developed a very expensive taste. So if you keep swapping around, they'll get used to that and they'll say, more gravy, please. So
I thought chickens were... I mean, my understanding was that is what you do with chickens, is just feed them all of the stuff that goes in your vegetable, in your otherwise would have gone into your compost. Is
yes,
that the case?
Yes, but then when you start adding in, oh, they like watermelons, so I'm going to mow them some watermelon. Oh, they like rock melon. They'll go,
gotcha.
Don't feel like that today, rather than just pouncing on the stuff. Yeah. Kay, did you have one more question for the vets?
Well, regarding the...
aggression.
On the bed. Yeah, the aggression.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. There's two possible things at play here. The first one is just the dog's become what's your dog's name? Sorry.
Coco.
Coco's just become used to sleeping on the bed, so she likes that and sort of letting you know that she wants to stay there. So, having her own space would be quite important for her. If you look up on the RSPCA website, they've got a nice guide on crate training, which is a type of training where dogs learn to have their own space and they're very comfortable and happy in there. They also learn to regulate their own emotions. You know, they don't work themselves up too high. So. Have a look on the RSPCA website. There's something called crate training.
Okay.
Yeah, which I think is more likely in a younger dog. However, you know, there could also be some resource guarding there too. Okay, so thinking that the bed is a place of high priority, so wanting to protect that as well. So,
oh, okay. Yeah,
let's
start
with crate training and go from there.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate all your help. Thank you very much.
Good on you, Kay.
Cheers,
okay.
Kay.
Bye. Bye now.
Let's head to our good mate Catherine Kingaroy now, who has a question about her canary. Hello, Kath.
Hi, Sally. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, look, you know, can't complain. What's the problem with your canary?
Now, I've had him for not quite 12 months now, and up until about 3 months ago, he used to eat his seed nicely and that, but lately I sort of fill his seed thing up in the morning and by lunchtime it's emptied because he's scraped it all out onto the bottom of the cage. So there's usually a pile of seed on the bottom of the cage.
That's an interesting one, Kath.
Is he lacking something? Like I also supplement his feeding with broccolini.
Okay.
So he gets some greens.
Is he eating any of the seeds, Kath, or is he just moving
not
them?
Not that I've noticed.
Kath, I think the first thing that we want to look at here is how balanced is his diet. Because, you know, for canaries, the recommendation generally is that you want to feed about 30% veggies, about, 30 to 50% of a pelleted diet, and then maybe 10% fruit, and then only about, between 10 and 50% seed. So I think that maybe if he's just getting broccolini and seed, we need to give him a whole lot, a range of vegetables that we've just been talking about. But in this situation, I think with birds particularly, you do want to give them a big variety.
I can just see Kath just making him a little grazing plate there and just popping it into the cage.
Board.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's right. So you know, these birds, they really thrive on a veritable smorgasbord of veggies and fruit and, a commercially produce pelleted diet. So the seed should represent, no more than 50%, absolutely. It can cause all sorts of issues too. If they get too much seed, it does contain a lot of fat. Seed contains a lot of fat. And it can cause kidney disease, cardiovascular disease, believe it or not, in birds, fatty liver, obesity, et cetera, et cetera. So you want to be quite judicious about the seed. And yeah, so, and I guess the other thing to mention is that some of that behaviour of going through the seed and it's spilling out everywhere might be exploratory or play, and birds can develop a penchant, shall we say, for a particular type of seed.
Picking through.
Yeah. I actually had to call April. Shout out to April, our resident bird expert at the clinic, because I saw your question come through, and I thought, right, I've got to get some quality info here. So that could be a possibility, but I reckon balanced diet is a good starting place.
Yeah. I didn't know you spoke French then.
I do now.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is,
are there any fruit or veggies that I shouldn't give him?
Don't give him avocado.
I think most fruits are okay. Yeah, most fruits are okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing, Kath, is just make sure your seed storage is good. Sometimes if the seeds get wet or maybe a bit of mould on there, you might be fossicking through those. And sometimes we'll come to the lunchroom, there'll be a lot of spinach leaves on the floor. Sam's just going through his bag of spinach. He's just tossing the bad ones out.
Hey, Kath, good luck with your canary. What's your canary's name?
Ricky Caruso.
Okay, well.
And it was Trent Dalton that actually named him.
Oh, my goodness. Name dropping now, Kath. Hey, good luck with Ricky. And, yeah, let us know how that goes. We've got a couple more minutes with the vets. If you have a question, 1-300-222-612, or you can text 0467-922-612. Chris in Maroochydore has a cat with a cough. Hello, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, well, I don't have a cough, which is good, but your cat does, apparently.
Yeah, now and again he'll have a bit of a cough attack, and he doesn't bring anything up, but it's a pretty heavy cough, yeah.
All right, Chris. How long has this been going on for? Is this a new thing, or is it something he's done, you know, his whole life?
I've had him for about 6 months, and he does it really. It's just the last week, it's almost every day.
Okay, all right, so it's becoming more frequent. It's a possibility, I guess, with his unknown history, he might have a chronic disease or a congenital disease like asthma. Cats can frequently get asthma. Huh. Sometimes pollen, dust mites, things like that can set them off. So, I mean, I've had asthma myself. It's no fun. So definitely work up for asthma is something that I would think about. And also being in a new environment, having only been with you for about 6 months, if you use any aerosols or cleaning agents that might be irritating to his airways, that's definitely a possibility too. So just have a think about what you're using and whether there's any pattern to that. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, speaking of aerosols, I was reading not that long ago that any sort of smoke around the house, I'm not sure if you're a smoker or not, but or if anyone that you live with might smoke, dogs and cats have incredibly sensitive respiratory tracts to smoke. And so much so that you actually don't even need to smoke around dogs and cats. You just have to have clothes on that were exposed to smoke, and that will actually affect their respiratory tract so severely that they can develop respiratory disease.
How does it go then? How do they go then in places that have, you know,
open fires?
Yeah.
Good question. I don't know.
What about firing up the Barbie on the weekend?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it's definitely. I think maybe the cigarette smoke in particular could be quite sort of noxious for the cat's respiratory tract.
Okay, so it wouldn't be fur balls.
Possibility. Yes. Yeah,
I think it's unlikely if he's never bringing anything up. If he's never bringing any fur balls up, they usually are productive, and they look more like a vomit rather than a cough. So if he's hoiking, you know, if he's getting his abdomen into it, then possibly fur balls. Otherwise, if
definitely it's worth taking them to the vet to get a check out, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's not just a one-off, you know. This is ongoing. So I think definitely get it checked out.
Yes, sure.
Hey, thank you, Chris.
Thanks very much for your time today. Good day.
Chris, no worries.
As we head to the Gold Coast now, John has a four-month-old border doodle. John, what's the haps with the dog?
Just barking. Things that walking past our, we're in a complex in an apartment with a big terrace, and anything sort of sets him off, like if he hears a gate shutting or another dog barking, that'll get him going.
Yeah, that's a very common thing, John, isn't it? You know, people, when we've got dogs in suburbia, their instinct, I guess, is to sort of defend their territory and ward off strangers and that sort of thing. And Digby will sometimes do that at 2 a.m. in between our house and the neighbours. Not a lot of space there. So, look, this is kind of my general approach to those types of behaviours, right? The first thing I always say to people is exercise. It sounds kind of removed from the problem at hand, but if you've got a dog that is fatigued, they are just less likely to be reactive, you know, and to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be taking this guy for a run, you know, every day, and really trying to wear him out so that he's just not on sort of tender hooks the whole time, waiting for someone to walk past the gate. Now, the other thing you can do, which is a little bit tricky, right, because you don't know when someone's going to walk past the front of the apartment or whatever, but is try to train him to sit on a mat or something like that, a distracting type of behaviour. So, you know, when I was training Digby, my dog, I would do this sort of circle of commands. I'd come, sit, and then stay, and then I'd ask him to wait, and then I'd get him to drop, and then I'd say, on your mat, right? And I'd train him to sit on his mat. Now, that kept his brain engaged, and if he did start barking, so I would have him trained to do that, you know, just normally, right? And then if he started barking at someone coming walking past the front of the house, I'd say, Diddy, come. I'd grab a chicken treat or something. Diddy, come. sit. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, we're doing this thing now. This is really, you know, enticing. And I would try and distract him with that tool. And in doing so, I am just reducing the number of times he's actually doing that behaviour. Sure, he might start the behaviour, but I'm actually distracting him away from continuing it and try to train him out of it that way. And then, of course, if you notice somebody walking past and he doesn't react, that is the opportune time to give him a treat. Even though it might look like he's not aware that person's there, I'll be giving him a treat. Say, good boy, just for being calm. Because you've got to reward that good behaviour as well.
And he's only 4 months old as well. So you want to get right on that, John, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. Great choice of dog, John, by the way. I've only had border collies myself. So they're a great dog. I said great choice of dog breed. Border collies are great.
Yeah.
But going along with those breeds, they're very smart as well. So they're very high alert and they need a lot of stimulation. So basically what Sam's saying is if you stimulate them, you take them for runs often and border collies will run. So something at home you can do is make ice cubes, you know, little treats like that, ice cubes, like ice blocks for him, and that's a little distractor, you know, can keep his mind busy when you're not at home, yeah.
Does he get plenty of exercise, John?
Yes, he does. We just went for about a 5K walk this morning. So I'm trying everything I can.
I know.
He's keeping you honest, John.
Yeah.
So, sounds like you need a border collie, Sam.
But being so young, isn't he also just testing his voice and being a male? Is he just trying to, like, he's just growing up?
He's definitely growing into his adolescence. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, he'll probably test the boundaries with you, you know, as he's developing and growing into sort of six to 7 months. And you're right. I mean, that is just part of development. But I guess that's where you come in terms of guiding the behaviours that you want him to do.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, barking is a normal behaviour. We can't forget that.
Yeah.
So we just need to try to train him. There's times when you can bark and we really love it. You know, that's, you know, our exciting play or whatever you want to do. And there's times when we just don't want you to do it. You can guide dogs, especially smart dogs like that, that this is not the time that we want you to bark.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Thank you. We're on our way to the beach now. So
Have your luck, John. Well done.
Have a good one, John.
Weather's beautiful.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you again to Dr. Sam Jones and Dr. Charlie Fairman from my local vet.
Always a pleasure.
And it's always lovely to have
you
in. And I will have you in again, I reckon, around 5 or 6 weeks' time.
Sounds good.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Get some work wins and reach those soul goals in 2025. Press play on your personal progress with the ABC Listen app. Listen to podcasts like
Life Matters,
The Economy is Stupid,
and This Working Life.
All those and more on the ABC Listen app.
ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.
Now we're talking.
Just gone 11:30. We will hear from the Premier, David Crisafulli. He's just given a press conference very, very recently. We'll bring that to you shortly. And we're going to talk a little bit about slow looking. Not slow cooking, slow looking. Trying to restore those attention spans that we used to have. Remember when we used to have those? That's coming up soon, right after Counting Crows. 6:12 ABC Brisbane, ABC Queensland.